hell, depending on who you're living around. There are some small communities in the United States of America, I've been to them. Oh, they're so lovely, make you feel like you're in another world. No crime is an issue. Crime is not an issue in no small community. Crime is no issue. People feel safe. No bars to their windows and doors. No liquor stores that stare in their face every time you go down the main street. Hard to even recognize where they sell the liquor. Some small towns are still like that in the United States of America. Some people are preserving that way of life for themselves. So it's possible. How come we can't work toward that? We are a Muslim community. How come we can't work toward having communities of small towns like that for ourselves? We have the freedom. We have the right to seek that and to get that. So let's not think small and let's not be short-sighted. Let's think big and let's look way down the road. And let's work every day at getting where we want to go.
That's right.
And have faith in Allah. Don't be weak. By Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he has said he's been sent expressly to affect good morals. Good morals. Good character. So if any of us are ignoring our moral life, we are not following the Prophet. Prophet Muhammad has been sent as a messenger to call us to faith. In the words of God in the Quran, those people who are called to faith, that we have heard a caller calling us to faith, and we responded, we have to leave. Prophet Muhammad was also sent to free people so that they can go into the many avenues of production intended for them by God. So he said, as God ordered him to say, I'm not a regulator of your affairs. I'm not here to set over commerce, to set over walls. No, God has freed you and educated you, and with education and religion and education, you are free to go and accept responsibility yourself for establishing that you aspire to. If you want to be a successful business person, don't look for some holy man to stand by your side and counsel you daily, to come in and share your management burden with you. If that's your aspiration, believe in God. See the direction for yourself in the light of your religion. Have faith that God has given you the ability, and go on and establish something for yourself. If this world depended on one person guarding and protecting the interests of individuals, families, and communities, it would be small enough to sit right here in this small masjid. World cannot grow until people accept responsibility for their own life, for their own aspirations. Accept responsibility for your own life and for your own aspiration. And come to the light of God to find direction for yourself in that. And then you go and apply and execute that yourself instead of looking at somebody else that, well, I don't know what to do. I'm going to wait until see what the imam's going to do. For all you know, maybe Allah intended for you to lead the imam in commerce. Maybe he leads you in recitation of Quran, but maybe Allah intended for you to lead him in commerce. So let us not be blind and foolish. Let us wake up and see that this religion is a religion based upon faith in God, faith in those things that we should and like, the promises of God, faith in that, but the scripture for this religion is knowledge, knowledge, experience, work. That's what you need, the structure of religion. You know, when you come to faith, faith is like nothing but the ground. If you ain't got nothing but the ground, you don't have anything. You're poor. You're rich in faith, but no works. And it is works that will establish something on the ground floor of faith. Works. And in order to have works to your credit, you're going to have knowledge. You can have some works with no knowledge, but you can't have good big works with no knowledge. You're going to have to increase your knowledge, and you're going to have to work hard. And those two things seem to go together, just like faith and action. The more your faith increases, the more your muscle increases to act. The more your knowledge increases, the more your courage is grows to apply it. And the more you apply it, the more you're going to be enriched with knowledge. Because applying knowledge is also a knowledge experience. It's going to bring you knowledge if by applying it. So they go together. So you find people that know everything, but they don't put nothing into action. They don't know that much. They're dumb, really. They know everything. You got five doctorate degrees. Five doctorate degrees, but all he's done is wrote what he knows. He's only written what he knows. That's all he's done. He's written, he wrote what he knows. Actually, he doesn't know too much. Because the real doctorate degree comes when you have applied your knowledge. In fact, they require that you write a dissertation. A dissertation for the doctorate degree. So you got to prove that you can do what your professors have been doing. That you could apply your knowledge to situations, circumstances, conditions, principles, etc. That you can use that knowledge in different situations of your own ability and interpret and apply knowledge of your own ability. So that's a proof of it. But if you just can write, then you just have the works of a writer, right? All your works is the works of a writer. Now, you put that writer in a real situation in the world, he'd probably be lost. A lot of men, oh, they're such great writers. Give him a job in a real situation in the neighborhood, and he's just lost. Many times he will be able to do it because he has the interest there. But he'll have to learn, huh? He'll have to learn. Although he's a doctor, he's written all these great books. But put him in that real situation, he's got to start all over again as a student. He has to learn. So let's have works, because works increase the knowledge, the intellect. And let's have a thirst for knowledge, a desire for knowledge, and let's pursue knowledge, because in getting knowledge, it gives us greater courage to work. Say, oh, look how lazy the African-Americans, the African and African-American people are. Look how lazy they are. Yes, okay. Look how lazy they are, but look how dumb they are. Maybe the dumbness is responsible for the laziness. Yes, you know, too many people judge us without looking at our whole situation. So, oh, look how poor they are in their homes. Look how the men desert their wives and their children. Look how poor they are in the social life. How bad they perform socially. But also you should look at the idea that governs the life of those people. What idea has been given to them that they're living on, that they're living with, that governs their life? Nothing wrong with the people. All people are the same. All people have the same ability. Nobody more lazy than the other. No black man more lazy than a white man. But he will be, he will be, he will be put in a situation where he's not aggressive, where he's not aggressive in certain situations, or in certain before certain concerns, he's not aggressive. Won't be because he is inferior in any way to another man, or be because of the different circumstances for the Jew. One has an idea that motivates him. The other one has an idea that wastes him. And that's the trouble with most black people. We have ideas that waste us. Our idea of social life is having fun. But a white man's idea, the majority of the white people's idea of social life is assuming responsibility for the order of society. Yes. Their idea is the idea of Khalifa. The idea that we're supposed to have. But our idea is having fun. That's because we've sensitized to think that way. The institutions of America has left us on our own. Very few institutions have survived the last 20 years. They have put down their values, they have put down their standards, they have abandoned their principles just for survival, to survive at any cost. And some of them seem not even be interested in survival. Looks like they're just waiting to be buried. Yes. So what are we going to do if the mass of people that left the situation like that, left the circumstances like that, what can we do? If we are Muslims, we can respond to the call of our religion. And we can get Muslim ideas in our head. Muslim values in our head and heart. Muslim responsibility on our shoulders. And we can start living differently. But many people are not invited to Islam. Many people are not invited to a living church. Some churches are still living. Most of them are dead. But some churches are still living. Many people, they don't get an invitation even from a living church. Good Christian principle would make our people more productive, more Christian, if they would follow the excellence of their religion. Yes, if they would simply just follow the excellence of their religion, they would be more productive, they would be less victims of crime and dope and all these evils that we are surrounded by now. Yes, if they would just follow the excellence of their religion. But something has turned the most of them off. From looking to religion, to the church for guidance. Michigan. very few. I listened to a man today, also running for office. In fact, the office that our brother is campaigning for. And he speaks with such purity of intent and virtue and high principle. I said to myself, oh, I wish we had these two men with us. I wish they were with us. I wish they were working with us. But it's better that, I guess, that they be working here against the evils that are robbing the citizens of Detroit of their human life. It's better that they be here, as more to do here, a greater need here. But sometimes I look at the mayor in Gary, you know, the mayor in Gary. He's been the mayor there for 3 terms now or more. And still Gary is picking up nothing but a big problem. I said, oh boy, I wish I had a man like that with us. You know, sometimes I wish that. So if you all fight the evils here and don't make any headway in the next 4 or 8 years, come see me and let's see what we can do together. Because all I need is some right-spirited people with intelligence and knowledge and ability with me, and I believe we can make a change in America, a great change in America. I don't mean that we would change the system of America. Really, that's not my hope, to change the system of government here. But I do believe we can make a change in the individual lives of many people and increase the number of people who will stand up for what's right in this country. And that will make the situation better for all of us. The more people we have with the strength to stand up for what's right in this country, the better situation we're going to have in this country for all of us. And I do believe we can make a great change in this country because God has blessed us with a way of presenting our religion and our message that gets the attention of most people. It gets the attention of most people that hear, and they work hard at limiting my audience, not openly, because they all, what justification they have to work against that man. But they will do it secretly. They'll do it secretly. They work hard at limiting my audience. But we won't give up. That makes us just that much more determined. Dear beloved Muslim, we should understand the sunnah of the Prophet, the tradition, the lifestyle of the Prophet, and how important it is to us, second only to the Quran, the Word of God. In the circumstances that we find ourselves presently in America, we should appreciate the sunnah. Trouble for the life form of the citizens of America. Personality. We get them over television, we get them from Hollywood. Personality that influence behavior in us. We get them from the corner, we get them from the streets, we get them from the pool room, we get them from the bar. We get them sometimes from social gatherings, even from the church gatherings. A lot of hypocrites out of form, out of human form. And we'll be influenced by those lifestyles and those personalities to come out of the true form that God wants us in, that He intended for us. So it is necessary that we see the lifestyle that God intended for us. Prophet Muhammad was not extravagant. He didn't show off wealth. He didn't live above his means. He didn't require something from a man already in a bad situation to make his situation better when he was already in a situation better than that man.
Right.
He didn't let his own life be a factor of oppression
on the life of his people. So that alone should make us better people in America if we would just accept that and live by that. Take that much of his sunnah. Take that much of the prophet's sunnah. Live a life where your own appetites are not contributing to the undermining of the strength or the opportunity for other people to grow. That's just one aspect of the sunnah. We don't have time to go into it in full detail. But you see how easy it is for us to change the state of affairs, for us to better the condition? It's easy. We're not lost. We're not in the dark. We're not without guidance. The Quran is guidance for sure, without doubt, perfect and complete. And Muhammad's sunnah is perfect for all situations, for all times. Doesn't mean that every one of us are going to be the clone of Muhammad the Prophet. No! Not the clone of Muhammad the Prophet. In that sense, none of us are going to have the mannerisms, the smile, the way of batting our eyes, or the way of throwing our hands, or even the way of dressing physically that the Prophet had. Because God made a point of removing that from our attention. Now Muhammad didn't even allow that a photo be made of him, that a drawing be made of him, that anyone see how he looked physically. So the sunnah of the Prophet is in the complete and universal idea, knowledge, virtue, that God intends for all men. He's a universal man. And every one of us can have his gene. And still have our own personality, our own individual personality. That's what you have to understand. But in accepting his the essential makeup or character of Muhammad for universal man, not for the man in the pool room, not for the man selling lamb chops, for universal man. That's too small for his sunnah. The principles of Muhammad will govern the business of that man. Now, if he starts selling his lamb chops for $20, he's out of the sunnah of Muhammad. You see? So we have to understand this and try to conform to the universal moral, the universal model of the human being that God wants, and see that in the life of Muhammad the Prophet, peace and the blessing be upon him. And if we do that, we're going to be greatly successful. We're going to be greatly successful. Our handicaps and shortcomings and the bad situation for us and the kind of cultural disorder that we have in America will not be enough to topple us, to destroy us, if we hold to the Quran and to the Sunnah of the Prophet. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Our Lord, give us in this world good and in the latter good, and save us from the fires of sin. ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Our Lord, grant us that we be patient, make firm our stand in the religion, and save us from the rejectors of faith. Amen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. ونحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise due to Allah, Lord of all the worlds. And we thank Him and praise Him on the blessings of Muhammad the Prophet. We pray the peace and the blessings be upon the Prophet and upon his descendants, companions, the righteous, all that lead. Most High says in his book,
El Aradu, Mesjid Allah. El Aradu, the earth, Mesjid Allah, is the mosque or the Mesjid of God, of Allah. The earth.
What does that tell us? It tells us that Allah is saying to Jews, to Christians, to tyrants, to conquerors, to atheists, to all. This earth belongs to me. I created it. It's mine. And my followers, my believers, have right to have their mosque anywhere on it. The proof that that is the message is the very fact that Prophet Muhammad didn't war against any people or any nation until it showed itself and proven itself to be adamant, stubborn, persistent in its position that it was not going to allow a Muslim to practice his religion there. Those nations, those empires who refused to allow their citizens to freely choose the religion they wanted to choose, they were warned by the Prophet Muhammad that they would receive, that they would be met with war. They would meet with war if they didn't change their policy. Now, in America, we're not strong enough to say to a society or a nation that won't allow us the free practice of our religion, cease your oppression, cease your persecution, or we are going to make war with you, or you're going to have to deal with us in war. We're not strong enough to do that. The Prophet didn't do it himself until he was strong enough to do it. So God had granted him great army and great nation and great army to make war with the imperialist forces of his time. But as much as we can, we are to do everything that our religion requires of us, that Allah requires of us. Don't you look at any neighborhood or territory and say, oh, I'm not supposed to have a mosque there. I'm not supposed to practice. I'm going to not practice my religion there. You have a right to practice it wherever you want to practice it. The earth belongs to Allah. The earth belongs to Allah. If you are not able to deal with the situation there, then pray that Allah will empower the Muslims, will aid the Muslims, and one day change the hearts of those people, or either give the Muslims the power and influence necessary to break that situation, open up that situation. Don't be satisfied. Don't tolerate any denial of your rights to be a Muslim and to live your religion anywhere on this earth, Chicago, Detroit, nowhere. I hear some people talking about, oh, we've been in this city so long, and we haven't grown. Our numbers are still small. Sometimes I think we ought to give up in this city. Don't listen to that person. Don't listen to those people. Now you have something going for you, and the fact that you've been here for 50 years, doing something that they don't want you to do. So if you've been able to do it for 50 years against their wishes, you should step up your forces, step up your activity. It's a sign that you can establish yourself here. But we are not going to do it as people promoting ourselves. If we have ourselves for promotion, we are going to fail. First of all, Allah is not with us when we want to promote ourselves. He's only with us when we want to promote what He will. When we want to promote obedience to Allah and His Messenger, obedience to the Quran and to the Sunnah of the Prophet, then Allah is with us. But if we want to promote something else, He's not with us. If we want to use religion to promote power, black power, Allah is not with us. If we want to use religion to promote economics for black people, Allah is not with us. But if we want al-Islam so that we will be in accord with Allah's will, following His Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, Allah is with us. We can Allah won't be against us, but he will delay our success, our progress, until we change and come into what he wants us in. He will delay it. What I'm saying is this. We started out as the temple of Islam. I was sincere. My father was sincere. My mother was sincere. Most of the people in my family were sincere. Most of the members of the temple were sincere. So Allah, he didn't deny help to us. He helped us. Allah was with us. Yes. But he did not give us the freedom to establish ourselves in big way. No, he denied us that right, that freedom. When it came to the point of really establishing ourselves in a big way, Allah brought the end to that form of that order of the temple, that form of religious idea. He brought the end of it. For us, it was the end of it. But,
and for those that looked like he was going to bring it back at the end, too.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that God won't deny us if our intent is good. But if our form is bad, he won't aid us enough to establish us in any permanent situation. He will hold back much that is needed to make us feel like we have made it until we conform to what he wants. Now, we made a big mistake in coming from the temple of Islam to the mosque of Islam. The big mistake we made is this, that we came from the temple of Islam under the spirit of leaving regimentation, restraint, strict discipline, etc. When we should have come from the temple of Islam in this spirit, I have not completed my discipline. I have not conformed enough yet. I'm going to now conform to this religion as it is presented in the Quran and as it was lived by Muhammad the Prophet. Then we would have been successful.
Yes, sir.
But we missed the whole 10 years of success because our spirit was like the spirit of those who went to Medina not to establish an Islam, but to get a wife or a better material situation. And the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, whoever came, is leaving Mecca and comes to Medina to get a wife or to get a better material situation, then his intent is for that. But whoever is coming out to establish as a muhajir, as an immigrant, to serve Allah, then his intent is for that. So most of us, we fell in the category of those migrants, of those people migrating, who are migrating for personal relief. Personal relief. Not to bring Allah's way in, but for personal relief. Oh, yes, okay, I don't have to eat one meal a day. I can go to the movies now. Ain't nobody gonna put me out if I wear my dress above my ankle. I'll wear my toe-out shoes. I'll leave my hair uncovered. Oh, thank Allah for this new day. That turned the Muslim community over to the weak. When it should have been the strong. The strong should have been setting example. They should have been the model for the whole community. They said, no, we live by the Quran and by the Sunnah of the Prophet. And we are to cover ourselves and keep ourselves covered. We are not going to throw away any good thing that we got from the Holy Elijah Muhammad. We're going to keep all the good things we've gotten from the Holy Elijah Muhammad and just walk straight ahead into the fullness of our religion.
Oh. Oh.
So we who had good intentions and desire to walk into the community life that Allah intended for us, we were in the minority. The majority just wanted to see a day of fun and play. A day that they can relax their God out of grip and just have a little rest. A rest from being right. A rest from being dutiful. That ain't right. You know that ain't right. You'll ever need a rest from virtues. Never take a rest from good virtues. Never take a rest from work. Allah says that as soon as you have completed one task, enter yourself right into another.
Right.
For surely the good days come with hard times. Huh? It is accepting hard times and meeting the challenge of hard times that the good times are brought in. Yes, in the ma'alos we use. Surely by facing the difficulty, the ease comes. Yes. So we should not give it up. No. But all of that, I guess, is in Allah's plan. So that we, as Allah says, and I preached it many times over those 10 years, that He will never bring the believers to the state that He intends for them until the corrupt be separated from those that are not corrupt. The corrupt people must be separated from those that are not corrupt. And I knew that once our people got a desire to start choosing their company, we were going to see a better day for our membership. You know, we had given up even the desire to socialize with each other. But it came back. We started missing our brothers and our sisters. And we started selecting our company, our friends again. And I knew once that process started, we would be on our way. Now, thanks to Allah, the state of our masjid in Chicago, I think it's very, very good. We got people working together. I don't have to worry about the administration there like I used to anymore. Got a board of trustees there who are taking care of our entrance there and looking out for the school and the mosque, taking care of our accounts and everything, depositing the money and everything. I'm free now to do more things.
Allah
is blessing us. And the same blessing will come to all of us who are well-meaning, who have good intentions, if we never give up. Don't ever give up. Never give up. If Allah would bless me to live 1,000,000 years, and I'd be so old until I couldn't stand strong air, the strong air would blow me apart. I'd be just that old and dusty, you know. I'd still be saying, let's get busy, the road ahead is better, there's much work to do. We can realize the future we want if we just get up and work at it. Yeah, I'll still be preaching that way. Yeah, I never give up. To give up is to become nothing. To let the forces of death take over. In the concluding of this book by today, I want to bring to your mind a saying of the Prophet that to stress two disciplines on our part. One, the discipline of excellent work. The Prophet said that Allah has prescribed for everything excellent. And a simple thing like slaughtering the animal to make it halal was the matter at hand when the Prophet gave this saying. He says, so when you slaughter an animal, see that your knives are perfectly sharp so that your cut is made smooth, easy, and quick. Excellent cut. For what purpose? So that you don't be brutal and cruel in slaughtering the animal. For the sword on an animal's neck with a dull knife is cruel.
That's right.
So the excellent slaughter is the slaughter that brings the least suffering to the animal and has a nice clean cut. Yes. So he said, God has prescribed excellence for everything, even this what you're doing now, halaling your animals. Also, prophet said, the believer is the one who, when he does
a work,
he seeks to perfect it. The believer is one. When he does a work, he seeks to perfect it. Now, if I want to live up to the highest and the best model of a believer, if I want to be the best believer in this religion, then no matter what I'm doing, if I'm cleaning the toilet, I want to do it the best I can. If I'm cooking the meal, I want to cook that meal the best I can. I want to prepare it the best I can. Yeah, I told one sister, I saw her, and she was working in the kitchen, and just because a little pressure was on her, she was swapping stuff around. I said, sister, it won't digest, it won't go down well. At least for me, because I see what you're doing. I know you're an excellent cook. Give it your best and then forget about the pressure. The pressure has to wait, because there's something more important now, and that's the outcome. Yeah, I want the outcome to be good. So God has told us through Muhammad the prophet, peace and blessing be on the prophet, that the believer is one that when he's going to something, or when he enters a work, he enters it with the desired intention to perfect it.
That's right.
Now, if we would just buy that principle, accept that principle that the prophet left with us, look how productive, look how valuable, beneficial it would be for us. Because every brother, we won't have to be, hey brother, do that again. Clean the floor again, brother. Wipe the woodwork again, brother. We won't have to be following each other up and worrying with each other, because every believer will be doing his best. We'll be keeping up our personal life, our family life, our properties, everything. America would be singing praise. Oh, those citizens, they're already singing praise. And we went to a meeting at the church part meeting yesterday. And the preacher was giving us credit, was praising the followers of the Almighty Elijah Muhammad and praising us now for our assertiveness in the business field. And he said he wished that they had that, he liked that in us, and he wished that they had more of that, more of that aggressiveness in the business field. So let us live up to the best of our religion. Allah says, and take the best thereof. And take the best thereof. That's in the same vein, or the same principle. That's the same principle. And take the best thereof. Some of us read the Quran and we're looking for